Wait, there we go. Yeah. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Can you guys hear me? You probably can hear me without the mic because I talk really loud. But all right. my notes are in here. But yeah, you probably can hear me pretty good without the mic, but my voice is booming right now. It's pretty cool. Yeah, so we've been on our series of Thessalonians, and I am the third in a series of speakers. But first, I want to say that this is officially my second Sunday as a member of Discovery, so I'm a part of this community. Yeah. Nah, for real, so it's super cool is that we've been talking a lot about community, and I've joined this community officially, like, last week. So now, yeah, this is my team right here. A quick warning, if you want to call it that. If you get to know me, you'll get to know that I'm super messy, because I'm a human. We all are. But you'll also get to know that I love Jesus. And I'm defined by the latter half. You know what I'm saying? And so are all of you. You know, if you rock with Jesus, if you live for Jesus, we'll say, you are defined by your identity in him. So it's okay to be messy. So I hope we get to know each other, like, for reals, as time goes on. Because, yeah. Jen and Allie both spoke to some way about the importance of community. The community of faith is of the utmost importance to God, and it should be to us. It's something sometimes that's, like, kind of looked at, kind of like a throwaway, but it's really not. Like, community, and it's not just being in the same building together, but, like, doing life together is, like, of the utmost importance. That's why God established the church. Super random, I thought of this morning. I'm gonna take my arm. This morning, I was thinking about just church and just going to church. Do you guys know who Marshawn Lynch is? Kind of random. He's a football player. He played for the Seahawks. He played for the Bills. He played for the Raiders. In football, after a game, you get interviewed, especially the Super Bowl. And there was a season when Marshawn Lynch had to get interviewed, and he didn't want to, so he didn't show up, so he got fined. So the next interview, he showed up, and I think it's hilarious. And his response to every question was, I'm just here so I don't get fined. And no matter what question they asked, that was his response, right? Like, they'd be like, so Marshawn, what do you think of? I'm just here so I don't get fined. No matter what they said. And I kind of feel like, and this is my random thought, we treat church that way, right? Like, we show up, not so much because we realize that we bring something to the table or the community is, like, important and vibrant. We kind of just look like, God, you see this? I'm here so I don't get fined. You know what I'm saying? But the reality is, this is not a burden. This is a blessing. Like, that God has established his church for us to, like, come together and do life is super cool. Yeah, random thought, but yeah, I thought it was cool. Don't mind me as I look at my notes. Yeah, so I'm going to pray real fast. See, I'm going to put my prayer in my notes because I forgot last time I preached. Yeah, another random thing. I'm talking, and I'm excited, so I'm talking really fast. So let me slow down. The last time I preached, I watched it the other day with my kids, and I was like, I'm gonna pray real fast. And then I had a random thought and forgot to pray. So I'll put it in my notes this time, so I'm gonna pray real fast. God, I thank you for today. I thank you for your love for us. I pray that you would give us eyes to see you, ears to hear you, God, that our hearts would be transformed by your word. Speak through me, and we just love you, and we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm gonna kind of be redundant and reread the scriptures that Jane just read, because I'm speaking about them. So I guess it's not redundant, but yeah. So 1 Thessalonians, starting at chapter 3, verse 12. And this is from the ESV version of the Bible. So I'm gonna read it and break it down a little bit. I forgot to look at the clock, Curtis, so if I'm starting to go long, bro, give me the... All right, so 1 Thessalonians 3. 12, starting at 12, says, I'm looking at the wrong verse. All right. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all of us and for all as we do. Let me read that again. Sorry. And may the Lord, I'm going to pick this up actually. It's way easier probably. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do more and more, For you know the instructions that we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. That's all in front of my face, sorry. For this is the will of God, that you abstain. Wait, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. When Curtis sent me a text saying what this week's church verse was gonna be, I was like, I wanna do something different so I don't like read the exact same thing. Plus, this kind of has a sticky one at the end, and I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I wanna touch that, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going for it, I'm gonna go for it, you know what I'm saying? So, break it down. Yeah, because that in part's kind of crazy. 12 says, and may the Lord make you increase in unbounded love for one another and for all as we do for you. So first, love is a super important aspect of the community. We don't just show up and leave, but we have to be present in order to like love people, if that makes sense. Like we can love from afar, but like real life is like I think Jen said, like we collide with each other. Like we're in the same space. So he says, sorry. May the Lord make you increase abound for love for one another and for all of us as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all the saints. The thing I want to point out in verse 13, it says that he makes us holy. So as we come together as a church and God grows us in love for him and love for each other, the ultimate person that is doing something inside of our hearts, making us holy, is God. And then if we jump down, I want to camp here for a second. The verse 3, this is the one I want to like jump over, but I felt like I had to say something about it. So yeah. Verse 3, 4-3 says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you may abstain from sexual immorality. There's a lot there. What does sanctification mean? Like, if we watch the video, because we have a table talk video, there's 3 parts. The third part, you can actually see like our lights come on talking about sanctification in that video. What does sanctification mean? Oh, that's a real question. Somebody can raise their hand. What does it mean to be sanctified? Purified and set apart. Bam, purified and set apart. And I think, for me, when I hear sanctification, my initial thought is like sinless perfection. But God is not saying be sinless perfect because only one person has ever done that. Who is that? Jesus. But what he's saying is be set apart. So the church, so you as a part of the church are set apart. I like the way the CEB says it. I don't even know what that stands for. What does CEB stand for, Trevor? Common English Bible. I like the way they word it. They say, God's will is that your lives are dedicated to him. This means that you may stay away from sexual morality. Bam. So it means to be dedicated to him. Set apart means to be dedicated to him. And onto the part that I want to like skip over, but I can't, is that we abstain from sexual immorality. Part of the reason I wanted to jump over it is because it's like a crazy topic. I know there's kids in here. Not even a crazy topic. It's a complicated topic, we'll say. But yeah, I'm going to read my notes on it because I took a lot of time considering it and thinking about it. And I wanted to make sure that it was true to the Bible. Any sexual activity outside of the design of God is perverse. We are to love and value people in the way that God does. To use a person for pleasure is unloving. We are called to be lovers of God and lovers of each other. Having relations doesn't equal love. You get relations, for the kids' sake, I don't want to keep saying it so the kids don't pick up. You know what I'm saying? But like, having relations don't mean love, right? So any sexual activity outside of God's will is like perverse, because we're not meant to use each other. We're meant to like love each other in the way that God called us to love. And it's all connected. So it says, grow in love, your God's will for your life. So people say, what is God's will for my life? To be sanctified. One, to be set apart, right? But also attached to that, as you live out your life, don't use people, especially for relations. Bam, hit it. on talking about love, and like, if you know me, like personally, we talk a lot. That's something that I talk about a lot in talking about Christianity, is like, God's love and our love, and it's important to me because it should be important to us. It's something that, but talking about love, the world sells a cheap version of love. Like, their version of love sometimes ends just at relations, but their version of love is self-centered. The world's version of love is you first. It's superficial, but God calls us to a love that's different. It's mad different. It's extreme. It's really different. God calls us to love with him at the center, not us. Would you guys agree that that's different than the world's version of love? Like, does that not in itself, if we walk in a manner where we love people in the way that God does with him at the center, if we walk in that way, doesn't that in itself set us apart? Because the world doesn't do that. They're incapable of doing that because they don't have God's spirit enabling them to love their enemies. Loving your neighbor is radical in reality. Your neighbor isn't called to be nice or loving. Your neighbor doesn't have to look like you and like what you like. Your neighbor doesn't even have to be a Christian. Whoa, that's kind of crazy, right? Because like we sometimes put ourselves in our like Christian bubble because we're called to be set apart, but that doesn't mean doing this to the world because they need Jesus. They need to experience a love with God at the center. And experiencing that love may cause them to come to Jesus. What does the Bible say? They will know you by your love for each other. And what happened in the early church? The church grew. The church set apart, different, loving with God at the center. People saw it and said, that's crazy, and joined because everybody's invited to the table. Yeah. It's hard to open my phone without my face. Sorry. Yeah, so your neighbor doesn't even have to be Christian, but in Jesus, I'm called to love them and wish for their good, even if they're unbelievers. Pray for them, and maybe they'll come to the faith someday, but they might not. So it's okay to pray for our non-believing neighbors, but we pray that God would like change them. But if he doesn't, we did what we were called to do, which is love them with him at the center. And what's cool is that as the church, not only are we neighbors, but we're brothers and sisters. That's like different, you know what I mean? Like there's been many a times, me and Curtis's origin story. Curtis was sitting at Starbucks reading his Bible. I was sitting at Starbucks reading my Bible with my friends. And cause I'm a big black dude, I like walked up to him and kind of like punk him cause I thought it was funny, but it was all like trolling. So I walked up to him, I said, what you reading, bro? And he was like, the Bible. And I was like, yo, me too. And he came and like sat with us and then we went to Chili's and had dinner. So like, but automatically because I saw that he was reading the Bible, we're reading the Bible, we're in the same family, we're in the same team, we rock the same jersey, we are part of the same group. So seeing that he had his Bible, like all the more should we love each other in the church, but our neighbors who don't know Jesus need to experience that type of love. Yeah. Jesus is our example. And this is a verse in Romans. I didn't put the verse, chapter and verse down because I'm a bad person, but Jesus is our example. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it, on my part, you're not required to be like loving and kind. In general, God requires that of me. Like I tell my children this all the time. Who are you responsible of? Like, what can you control? You, and they'll be like, my brother? No. What did you? Like God is saying that to us, you love. He's not saying love people because they're good or love them because they're nice or love them because they love. That's easy. Like if you don't smack me, it's easy not to smack you. But if you smack me, it's hard for me to call upon the Lord and not smack you out your shoes. You know what I'm saying? So God is calling me to love irregardless of your response. He's calling me to love. And that's what the Christians do. That's what we do. And that's what sets us apart. Now I'm gonna read Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 24. Man, these letters are little. I'm getting old. All right. So it says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for Christ Jesus for you. We're back to that will of God. So people say, what's God's will for my life? There it is. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. That's the call for who? Those in Christ Jesus. That's not the call of the world. If you're in Jesus, God's will for your life is that you would be thankful in all circumstances. And guess what? There's some really, really horrible circumstances that people like live in. I don't even understand how we can like rejoice and be thankful when things are really, really hard. But this earth isn't the ultimate reality. So even when it's really, really bad, we're gonna experience the ultimate good forever with God. Amen? You know what I'm saying? Like there's some horrible situations that people are like, why God? I've had great conversations with people who are non-believers who like live and camp at that, why do bad things happen to good people? Like there's some horrible things that happen to people. Do you know what's the greatest injustice in the history of humanity? Not a trick question. The greatest injustice in the, it's like spitting my mask, that was so gross, I'm sorry. That was terrible. That was horrible. See, I'm talking about, that was one of those things. But thankful God, I'm thankful that I have a mask to protect me from Rona. But, sorry. But the greatest injustice in history was the righteous God coming to earth and being murdered as a murderer. Or not murdered as a murderer, being murdered as a criminal, as a blasphemer. God has never sinned. Jesus has never wronged anybody. Never had wrong thoughts about people. Walked in love, healed the sick, like turned water into wine. You know what I'm saying? Like he loved people. He was at a party like, hey, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like turn up. But like for real, it was like Jesus has never wronged anybody, was crucified butt naked on a cross and mocked and laughed at. And we look at our injustice like it's something. When I've wronged people, so if something happens to me, like I don't believe in karma, but like sometimes you like reap what you sow, right? But like in this world, like bad things happen. The worst thing ever happened to Jesus, and it came out to be for our good. So we can be saved, so we can have this, the church, and be set apart. That's crazy. It's mad. Sorry, I'm just gonna pull my mask down. I don't have a temperature, so you guys are good. All right, I'll keep reading. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. I'm gonna read what I wrote because I took time to write it. God will set you apart. God will set you apart. God has set you apart. To be a Christian, you are not better than people in the world who are not. Because I'm talking about the church and we're set apart. Set apart doesn't mean better than, right? Set apart doesn't mean better than, it means dedicated. Like, look at it this way. Look at it this way. If I have Skittles on my table and I take some certain ones, it's set apart. Like, these are the ones I'm gonna devour. But yeah, like, yeah, it doesn't mean better than. In fact, as believers, we realize we are invited to the table. And when I say the table, it's like the feast. We're invited to this. When I call Curtis up, we're gonna do communion. We're invited to the feast. So set apart, we're not better than, we just realize that we're invited to the feast. We are also called to invite others to the feast. I know we do play a role in our sanctification. I also know he uses the church to play a role in our personal and collective sanctification. So God sets us apart. It says in there multiple times, God will do, God will do. We have a part to play in it. I think part of the part that we play in it is verses 15 through 22. Rejoice always, pray continually, be thankful in all circumstances. In that place, God sanctifies us. But also the church coming together and doing life together, that sanctifies us. Me seeing you live out your life for Jesus and my messiness says, man, I wanna be like that. You know what I'm saying? There's more to it, it's possible. Or when my brother's down, same thing, they can look at me and be like, man, that person has a heart that's like alive and that's a trap. Like, and me and Curtis were talking the other day and he gave a cool example of something that I've never heard of, but it sounds cool. It's called a rock tumbler. And you put the rocks in there and you spin it or something and it smooths the rocks out. But all of them together, collectively smooths out. And I think that's kind of how the church works. Like we come together, we go out in the world and get beat up because people don't care about Jesus. They don't care about the thing that we value the most. They don't care about the supreme delight of the universe, but we do. So we go out there, we get beat up and don't expect them to love us. We love them anyway, right? But we come together and we get in that rock tumbler, and God smooths us out and sanctifies us. But I don't know how it completely works, but I believe that God is faithful and he'll do it because he says he will. He says, he, the God of peace himself, that's so cool, the God of peace himself will sanctify you completely. And then it says in 24, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Yeah. That threw a peace sign on my notes too for us. At this point, Curtis is gonna call us up and we're gonna do communion. I'm like,
Manny told me that he was gonna finish by saying peace. I didn't think he was serious. I thought he was kidding. So, but that's how it happened. And you might not know this, but between the two of us, I am the extreme extrovert and he is an introvert. And you might not believe that in this moment, but trust me, he is. And Manny, thanks. Thanks for serving us. Thank you for being part of this work with Ali and with Jen to open up Thessalonians with us. It's been a gift.